Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Daf Yutes. We begin 7 lines from the top of the Amud. Says the Gemara, Besura Masnu Masni, Lohoshmata Bahilishna. In the town of Surah, and the yeshiva in Surah, they presented the sugi that we had yesterday, Bahilishna, the exact manner in which we learned it yesterday. You may recall we discussed a chatzar, which is surrounded with an achsadra. So we have a U-shaped housing complex, configured like a U. Inside there is a chatzar, which happens to be ringed with an achsadra, with an overhang. So from the house there is an overhang, a canopy, some sort of roof, going into the courtyard. So that happens on all three sides. And on that airspace, he placed some schach, which is leaning on the achsadra. So the sukkah now is surrounded on all three sides with an achsadra. Now, where are the walls? So yesterday we learned that if it so happens to be that there are poles, pitzimin, lining the sukkah, meaning where the achsadra meets the schach, at that point where they meet, there are poles lined up next to each other, within 3 tefachim to each other. They're there to support the achsadra. So it's at the point where the achsadra and the schach meet, we have poles, in which case now the sukkah is completely surrounded by these poles, which are within 3 tefachim to each other, within the range of lavad, which is considered a mechitza. So now the sukkah has mechitzas on all three sides, and is certainly kosher. We apply lavad to close up the mechitza. So that's yesh la pitzimin. When there are no pitzimin, so all we have is the achsadra and the schach leaning on it. And that's happening on all three sides. Right? We have achsadra on all three sides, a U-shaped achsadra coming out of those houses, and schach sitting on it. And the question was whether we can apply pitikra. You see, the achsadra, which is really a roof, has a tikra and has a pitikra. That forward-facing surface, some say it has to be a tefach thick, a forward-facing surface, a horizontal surface, which is a peh. So when you enter that roofed area, you feel like you're going into a roofed area. That creates a separation. The pitikra is yerid v'soisim, is stretched downward. We learned this from Halachah L'Mishnah Mesina. Rashi says it's a variation of good achis. We pull down the mechitza. Tosfos learns in Erev, and Tosfos learns it's a Pesach-based concept. So it creates that entranceway and appears like it's a separate area. So since you have this pitikra on all three sides of your sukkah, right, your sach is resting on that achsadra, and that's happening on all three sides, perhaps you will apply pitikra, yerid v'soisim, to enclose your sukkah on all three sides. Abaye says, yes. And Rava says, well, in this case you can't do that because, keep in mind, the pitikra is part of the tikra, which is meant to serve what? To service the area underneath that roof. It wasn't meant to serve the sukkah beside it. In which case, Rava maintains, you can't apply pitikra to benefit the sukkah. Perhaps it's a sukkah-based concept because sukkah is an environment, it's a dira which you are creating. And in fact, Rava back in Daf Hey says, you need mechitzes nikoreis, it has to be visible, tangible, it has to be there to create that mokim of dira, which case, in this case, it won't apply because the pitikra is part of the roofed area and servicing the roofed area. It wasn't meant to service the sukkah next to it. So that was the version as presented in Surah. The Surah of Masni Lohoshmata by Lishna and Surah, they learned the sugya the way we just did it in this version, meaning if it's lavud, certainly okay, because although you're servicing the area outside the achsadra, that's okay, because lavud is considered like one and connected. So those poles, which are within three to each other, are considered like one continuous mechitza. And when you have a solid mechitza, it works in both directions. Right? So just as if you have a real solid mechitza, of course, it works in all directions. It divides for this side, divides for that side. It benefits everybody involved. Likewise, lavud is a form of mechitza. We consider it like one continuous wall, In which case, even the sukkah can benefit from those pitzimin, which were really there to support the achsadra. The machlekes between Abaye v'Rava pertains to pitikra, which is less tangible than lavad. Abaye says it works for the sukkah as well. Rava says, since it wasn't really meant to function as a mechitza for the sukkah, it was meant to function as a divider for the roofed area, to create that impression of separation between the roofed area and beyond. It's servicing the area beneath the roof and not the sukkah, and therefore it doesn't work for the sukkah. However, says the Gemara, Pumbedisa, in the town of Pumbedisa, Masni, they presented this sugya differently. They held that even when it comes to applying lavud, Rava will hold that since it isn't really a tangible mechitza, it's a halachic mechitza, this virtual mechitza can only serve the intended service area, meaning the achsadra, which it's meant to come, which it's coming to enclose. But the sukkah alongside it will not benefit from the lavud. So b'pum b'disa masni, they learned as follows. Sichich al gabi achsadra she'en lo b'tzimin. He placed the schach on the achsadra, which happens not to have any poles, in which case you would have to rely on pitikra. Divrei ha'koyel pesula, all agree it's pasul. Why? Because the pitikra, which is part of the tikra of the achsadra, was meant to serve the roofed area and not the sukkah alongside it. So everybody agrees it's pasul. Yesh lo pitzimin, but if there are poles ringing that sukkah, lining up the perimeter where the schach meets the achsadra. So we have poles along all the sides, and they're within three to each other. We can apply lavud, perhaps. Now we have a machlokes. Abaye amar k'sheiram. Abaye says it's fine. Why? Because although the poles are there to support the achsadra, to service the roofed area, not necessarily the sukkah, but once you get to lavud, it's closed up. It's a continuous wall. A real wall can benefit both sides. Rav amar psul. Rav says, no, it can't serve the sukkah. Explains the Gemara. Abaye amar k'sheir amrinan lavud. We apply lavud. Rav amar psul alay amrinan lavud. Why can't we apply lavud? Because certainly lavud works to enclose the intended enclosed area, the place where it's trying to serve and to enclose. But the sukkah outside of it cannot benefit from that lavud. So according to this version, when it's a real machitza, of course, there's no question. It works in all directions. When it's just pitikra, where you're stretching down that roof, and bringing it down, all agree it's only going to service the intended area, the place where it was meant to serve. The machlokes applies to lavud. Abaye says, well, lavud is like a real machitza. We ignore the gap. You see a built wall, and it benefits the achsadra, it benefits the sukkah. Rava says, bottom line is, lavud is a halachic concept. You don't have a physical, tangible mechitza, and therefore, it can only serve the area which it was meant to enclose, as opposed to the sukkah. And the halacha follows the first version of events, which was that, once again, if you have a solid mechitza, of course, it benefits everybody. And if you have lavud, we consider that to be a solid mechitza and it affects and benefits everybody. When we have pitikra, then we have a machlokes. Abaye says it works, and Rava says it doesn't. Let's go over to Rashi, about four or five lines down on your right side. Lahoshmata. So in Surah, they had the presentation of this shmata, this machlokes, the Abaye Rava, and that was the way we learned yesterday. In Pumbedisa, they learned differently. So if you have schach resting on an achsadra, which has no poles, so you can't employ lavud, the only thing you can apply is pitikra, the vehicle psula. All agree it doesn't work. They keep in the tikra the chalal achsadra asuya, because since that roof was meant to cover the achsadra, v'loy lavish shechutzla, wasn't coming to benefit, to aid the area outside it. Ein pi anasa mechitzas la'avir. So the pitikra cannot serve as a mechitza to the area outside that achsadra. So all agree it doesn't work. Yesh lo pitzimin, But if we have these poles lining the perimeter of the sukkah, where the achsadra meets the schach, and they're set up bepachas mishloisha, now we have a machlekes. Abaya makshera, amrin alavet. Va'ava bishabtzimim lachalal achsadra nasu. Although the poles were there to serve the area beneath that roof, beneath the achsadra, v'loy lavi achitzen, not to serve the area outside of it. Havi lamachitzen, it still works. Why? They're called pachas mishloisha stimam al yisehi. Anything less than three is considered a proper enclosure. Veshade lacha lahacha, it can be applied in all directions. Verava mapsula, no. It's not a physical mechitza, it's a halachic mechitza. The loved love mechitza hi. Elam halacha l'mesh mesinai gmirila. Vechi gmirila. Lius mechitza lachalal hanasa b'shvilo yasa. L'mesh daye. L'asa. Aval. Aval l'mesh daye lacha lacha loy. If it's a real physical mechitza, I agree. It works for this side, it divides for that side. But when it's a halacha machitza, says Rava, the halacha mesh mesinai tells you to apply it in the direction where it was meant to come and close and come to serve the achsadra, as opposed to the sukkah outside. Where concludes, v'hilchas ha'kalishna kamo de Rava, we follow the first version, in which case we say, if it's a solid machitza, of course it works. If it's loved, it works as well. If it's pitikra, it's not as good as loved. And we follow Rava, who says it only works for the achsadra, which was its intended service area, as opposed to the sukkah, which it wasn't really meant to serve. V'loy kilishna basra, we don't follow the second lashon, which is more machmer really, because kilishna basra, even by loved, we make this distinction between the achsadra and the sukkah. We don't follow that shita. Why? Because the loved amrinan afilu aver. Because when it comes to loved, since it's so close to each other, we ignore the gap. Consider a proper machitza, a tangible machitza, which works in all directions. Aval stimas pitikra le'amrinan ele chalal. When it comes to pitikra closing, that only works for the roofed area, and not for the sukkah, which is situated alongside it. So bottom line, if we have a real physical mechitza separating two areas, of course, both sides of the mechitza can equally benefit from that tangible physical mechitza. It's a barrier. It divides the area into two. When we have pitikra, at least according to Rava, it doesn't work because it's a halachic mechitza, it's just an appearance of mechitza, and it works for the makim which it's coming to serve. For instance, the pitikra is going to serve the area under the tikra, to consider it separated from the area beyond it. But it cannot serve the area outside that tikra, because it's not a tangible mechitza which can go in all directions. It can enclose the roofed area. So when you're in the roofed area, you consider yourself separated from the area beyond. But as far as the fellow standing outside of that roofed area, he can't really benefit from that mechitza, which isn't really a tangible mechitza. It's not going to serve as a divider as far as he's concerned. When it comes to lavud, that's already a gray area. And that depends on two lashonis. According to the second lashon, lavud is considered like pitikra. According to the first lashon, lavud is stronger than pitikra, and the sukkah is considered an enclosed sukkah. Continues the Gemara, Rav Ashi, Ashkechele Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi, notice Rav Kahana, who is building a sukkah, Dekomesachech al gabei achsadra, she'en lo betzimen. So he had a sukkah which was shaped like an L. He had two walls. And where was the third wall? So he was putting a schach on top of the achsadra. He was building it near the overhang, and there were no poles there. So the question was, where's the third wall? Amrlei, so Rav Ashi asks Rav Kahana, you must be relying on pitikra, right? He rested the schach on the achsadra, apparently because he was relying on pitikra of the achsadra to serve as the third mechitza for his sukkah. Amrlei, Rav Ashi asks him, lo yisava mar ha de amar Rava? You don't hold of Rava? The amar Rava yesh lo p'tzimin k'sher. If you have poles lining the sukkah, you have poles positioned at the meeting point of achsadra and sukkah, kshera, and your sukkah is lined with poles surrounded with machitas. Ein lo p'tzimim p'tzula. But otherwise, it's possible you cannot rely on pitikra of the achsadra for the sukkah. Achrilei. So Rav Kahana showed him something. He pointed out that there was a third machitza. And although it wasn't really visible, it's still considered a machitza. Nireh mibifnim, v'shaveh mibachutz. So he showed him that the machitza was visible from inside the sukkah. When you're standing inside your L-shaped sukkah, you see that third wall. V'shaveh mibachutz, although it wasn't really seen from the outside, because one standing outside, to him it appeared like it's just a thicker wall. It was maybe a tefach or something, right? That's the third wall. But from the inside it was visible. It was protruding into the sukkah, right? But from the outside, to the outside observer, it would appear like just a thick wall. Inami, or perhaps it was the other way. Nireh mibachutz, although the third wall was visible from the outside, v'shavim b'fnim, but not from the inside. So you may want to take a look at the diagram right here in the Gemara. That's a bird's eye view of the whole situation. So beneath that diagram would be the house. And then as you enter the diagram from below, it's the achsadra, that's the overhang. And then you proceed to the the L-shaped sukkah. Right? It has two walls, but it's more than two walls. You see another little leg sticking out of that L. It's like a tuff. So where the sukkah meets the achsadra, you see that little third wall. But that wasn't seen from inside the sukkah. That's nireh mibachutz v'shaveh mifnim. One who's standing in the sukkah doesn't notice that third wall. It's only seen from the outside. And according to Rav Kahana, that is sufficient for a sukkah. It creates a separation. It says the Gemara, the Itmar, as we learned elsewhere in Erevin, we have a mavi, an alleyway heading into Rosh Hashanah. In order to allow carrying the mavi, you have to position a lechi, a side post, where the mavi meets Rosh Hashanah. And we learned, nireh mibachutz v'shaveh mibifnim, even if it's only visible from the outside, but one standing in his mavi will not notice it, because the wall just continues straight. It's the lechi on the outside. On the outside, which will be seen. Nida mishum lechi, we treat it as a lechi, because that's enough to create a separation. V'lechi hainu p'tzimen, just as works by lechi, hainu p'tzimen, it works as a p'tzimen, as a sort of a post, as a halachic third wall when it comes to the sukkah. Asks Tesis, Tema, how can you compare the two things? You're comparing mavi, where it's only a din d'rabbanan, to create an impression of separateness. So certainly if it's going to be seen from the outside, meaning the b'nei Rosh Hashanah will view that lechi, that's enough to create that separation. Whereas by sukkah, you need a third wall, halacha l'meshem Sinai. And if it's not going to really be part of your sukkah, when you're sitting in the sukkah, you're not experiencing that third wall, you're not being surrounded by that third wall, what good does it do? Answers Rabbeinu Peretz, Tetz Rabbeinu Peretz, he says, apparently what happened was that there was a Tzuras HaPesach, like an impression of an entranceway, right? Pole on either side and string on top, at that third side, which Minatera is sufficient, although Tzuras HaPesach cannot be applied to the entire enclosure of the sukkah. You need mechitzes, and the Nikaras, tangible mechitzes, as the Ran explains. When it comes to the third wall, which is more lenient, Shlishis Hafilo Tefach, so order of Kahana was Machmer. We actually learned it back on that Zayna Mar Aleph, where Rav Kahana was very Machmer. When it comes to the third wall, he applied a Tefach Shlishis plus a Tzuras HaPesach. That was a story there in the Gemara. So apparently that's the way he used to build a sukkah. So technically, it says Tzuras Rabbeinu Peretz, the Tzuras HaPesach would address the basic requirement. The minatoru requirement of the third wall, in which case he says once he adds the extra tefach, be it visible from the inside, only visible from the outside, that's enough to create that separation, that completion of that third wall. Says the Gemara, Tana. Now, actually, this halacha we're going to learn now was mentioned several times in the Masechta Psal Hayotze Min HaSukkah, and finally we're going to get to it. Tana Psal Hayotze Min HaSukkah. Psal means Psalus Gorn V'yekev, describing the material used for the Schach. So it's Yaitzim Min HaSukkah, it's actually extending out of the Sukkah. Nidon Kesukkah, Lahalacha, we consider it as a Sukkah. Now what does this mean? My Psal Hayotzim Min HaSukkah. How exactly do we describe this psalm? Amar Ula Kanam Hayotzim Lachirusuk was speaking that these Kanam, meaning the Schach, it sticks out behind the Sukkah. So he has one wall on the right, one wall on the left, one wall on the back, and he has Kanam sticking out from the back of the Sukkah. And that's considered part of the Sukkah. You need three walls for a sukkah. But the ikkah, you have three walls. What happened was, initially, he built a huge sukkah. One on the right, one on the left, one on the back. He decided, you know what? I want to get a little economical. I'll make the sukkah a little smaller. And he pushed the back wall into his sukkah. So now he shortened his sukkah. And behind that back wall, you have a fully enclosed area. You have three walls. Right? You had right, left, and back. And then you pushed the back one in towards the front. So now the back, behind that back wall, you have an enclosed area. So you have it. V'bein in hechsher sukkah, but you need a shear of 7x7 tefachim, b'dika you have it. V'bein in tzalosim rubim chamasa, you need more shade than sun, b'dika you have it. Yochei ma'ilam emra, that's the case. It's pashut. Why you discuss it? It's a kasher sukkah. Ma'od atema, perhaps there'll be room to think that it's no good. Why? Hoyel. Ulagavoya viti. Rashi learns. Since the walls were intended to serve the enclosed area, ulabaroy la vidi, rather than the outside of the sukkah, the back side of the sukkah, certainly the back wall was never meant to serve that area. It was meant to serve the inside of the sukkah. You happen to push it towards the front, you left yourself some area behind it, but it wasn't meant to serve that area. And the right and left walls as well. Initially, they were meant to serve an enclosed area. So perhaps it's not going to benefit that area. You can't use those walls. Amalei, perhaps those walls are no longer effective for that area, which was out of their domain, out of their realm. Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is, it works as well. Ask Taisvis Vikasha. This concept was already taught in the Mishnah back on the Yud Zayin. We had a case where it was a bias. A chotzer, which was mukavaz achsad. That was the case we just discussed. A U-shaped courtyard. And the Mishnah tells us if the wall of the house is within striking range, within deifin akuma range of the kasher schach, you can use it. What do you mean? The machitzes of the bias were constructed to serve a sukkah, or constructed to serve a house. So you see, it works. Why would the Gemara have to repeat the halacha again here? So Taisus learns differently than Rashi. What the Gemara meant was that the schach were meant to serve the actual sukkah itself, not behind the sukkah. And that's the chiddush of the Gemara. Don't think, well, it's not made l'shem tzel, it's just protrusions, extensions of your schach. Chiddush as it works. Now, to answer Tosfos Kasha and Rashi, the Ritva says there wouldn't be a riot necessarily from Chitzas HaBayis, which are properly constructed walls. And then, yeah, it can serve in either direction, whether or not you had that in mind. It's there. It's a permanent structure, as opposed to a sukkah, which is a temporary structure. Who says that it can benefit an area which was not part of the plan? So that's the Chiddush, that it works. So Rav explains, psal yetzim rasukah means you have psal, psal is going to be yeketzim schach, sticking out behind your sukkah, and it happens to be in a closed area, happens to have the shear properly shaded, and it works. Rav and Rav Yosef Amritavei, they had a different pshat. So they both explained as follows. Hocha b'konim ha-yetzim lefnim rasukah, we're speaking that the konim extend past the entrance way of the sukkah. U'mashcha V'azla, chad doifim b'hadai. One doifim, one wall, accompanied that schach. So you have one on the right, a very long one, one on the left, a short one, one on the back, and the schach keeps on going past the entranceway, and there's one wall going along with it. Umashcha v'azla. He's going along with that schach. Chad doifim b'hadai. And the chiddush is you can sit even in that extension. Ma'odat heima. Perhaps you don't have an hechsher sukkah there. Why don't you have hechsher sukkah? the Marshal explains, means you don't have three defanes, you don't have three walls. You only have one wall. Kamashwan, the chiddush is it works. And Rashi explains it works like every sukkah, which is two walls and a bit. You have one on the right, one on the left, like an L, and you have a little bit here on the left. So inevitably, one wall is longer than the other, and it still works. The entire area is considered enclosed. Here as well. Ask the Mefarshim, so what's the chiddush of the Gemara? This is a standard procedure for every sukkah. So the Rosh explains Rashi as follows. He says it's different. It's different than the small size sukkah of Shtayim Kilchasan and Shlishis Tefach. See, over there, certainly it's all one enclosure. But when it comes to a sukkah where he built a long wall and a back wall, and then another wall on the left, which is more than the required amount. It's more than a Tefach. He built a real long wall there. So perhaps he is indicating, well, he's showing that he's not sufficing with bare minimum. Right? He's not just trying to accomplish a halachic wall. He's trying to enclose a sukkah, and he only went up to this point. He went to 5 tachim, 7 tachim, 10, whatever it is that he did. Perhaps that's indicative of the fact that he's only considering the short area as part of a sukkah. So now that he has a longer wall going out, perhaps that's outside of the enclosure, outside of the intended sukkah. That's the chiddush, no. We say it's no different than the standard sukkah of Shtayim Kilchasan, Shlishis Tefach. So although we have a show on the long wall, everything is included in the sukkah. Rabba Babrachan Omer B'Yichna. He says, I'll tell you a different pshan the price. What is psal yotzim in our sukkah? As follows. Lo Nitzrucha, we're speaking el sukkah sheruba, tzilasam ruba mechamasa. Most of the sukkah is properly shaded, more shade than sun. Umiyuta, however, there's a small part there that's mostly sunny. Chamasam ruba mitzilas, more sun than shade. The chiddush is, you can sit in that location as well. Maldo tema, perhaps you would say, te pasal bach purta. That little spot there, which is sunny, is pasal b'kamash malon. The chiddush is that it's incorporated into the general sukkah configuration and it's kosher as well. Umayyotze, what does the braisa mean? Psal hayyotze. It's not outside the sukkah. It's actually in the sukkah. Yotze mehechshu sukkah. It left the kashrus of the sukkah. It's not properly shaded. The chiddush is it's considered part of the sukkah as well. Rabbi Yeshu Omar, here comes a fourth pshat in the braisa. Lo nitzrucha l'schach pasal. The braisa is speaking where you have a patch of schach pasal in your sukkah. Pachas mishloisha. B'sukkah ketana. You have a small sukkah and you have less than three tefachim of schach pasal. The chiddush is it's also considered part of his sukkah. You can sit under that patch. Uma yoytze. What does the braisa mean? Yoytze. It's not outside the sukkah. It's in the sukkah. Yoytze mitoira sukkah. It's outside the toira of sukkah. You don't even have a proper schach there. And it still works. Maske flarav hoyshe. What's the chiddush? Lo yehe ela aver. Even if it's not schach posel. Even if it's a gap, airspace, which is really more strict, more severe, more harmful and dangerous than schach pasal. Right? Generally speaking, let's say by large size sukkah, we say when it comes to avir, even three tefachim is no good. When you have schach pasal, you have until four tefachim or four amis. So what's the chiddush about speaking? What's the chiddush of speaking about schach pasal? Well, the same concept would apply to avir. Lo yehe ela avir. Even if this wasn't schach pasal, just airspace. Va'avir pachas m'shlesha tefachim b'sukkah ketana me'pasal. If you have less than three tefachim of airspace in a small sukkah, does it invalidate the sukkah? So you should have had a greater chiddush in the brayse. Rather than speaking about schach pasal less than three, you should have spoken about airspace less than three. Omelet Rabbi Abbas, Rabbi Abba responds, no. There was a specific chiddush that the Braisa wanted to bring out, which explains why the Braisa spoke about schach pasal dafka. Why? There's a difference between less than three tefachim of schach pasal and less than three tefachim of airspace. How? Zeh mitztaref v'yishenim tachtov. Schach pasal less than three tefachim in a sukkah ketana is going to be mitztaref, going to attach itself to the rest of the sukkah, and the sukkah ketana can sort of include the schach pasal in its required area, in its shear of zayin al zayin, v'yishenim tachtam. Guess what? You could actually sleep under the schach pasul. It's batal to the sukkah. And even if he's actually under the schach pasul, he knows for a fact, I'm under the schach pasul, it's okay. It's been incorporated into the sukkah. And that's what the Brayis is saying, psal yitzu min ha-sukkah, nidlek ha-sukkah. If you have psal, schach, which is not kosher schach, but if it's less than 3 tefachim, it's part of your sukkah and you can sleep underneath it. However, v'zeh, when it comes to airspace, that's different. It's more chomer, mitztarif. Although it is mitztarif, it joins the rest of the sukkah and it's considered part of the shear of the sukkah because it's less than 3 tefachim. You can just ignore the gap. But that's as far as the sukkah is concerned. The sukkah can use, can incorporate, can absorb and swallow that airspace into itself, and the sukkah has hechsher sukkah. It's included in the shear of Zayin al Zayin Tefachim. That's as far as the sukkah is concerned, as far as the structure. But ve'en yishenim tachtav, you can't sleep beneath it. So although it's part of the sukkah, that airspace has sort of double identity. The sukkah uses him as part of the sukkah, incorporates that airspace into the sukkah, into itself. But a fellow who's actually sitting under that airspace should consider himself out of the sukkah. Ve'en yishenim tachtav. You may not sleep under that airspace because as far as you're concerned, you're out of the sukkah. You're meant to relate to the sukkah. Basukkah is teshu, shiva siyam, you're sitting under airspace. So that explains why the Braisa specifically discussed psal yitzu min ha-sukkah. It's not possible in the sukkah, which is considered like the sukkah itself, in which case you could even sleep beneath it, as opposed to describing it as avir in the sukkah, because there you can't actually sleep under that avir. Let's go over to Rashi, 2 lines on the bottom. Amalei Rabbi Abba lahochi ahani nidan kesukkah. That's why the Braisa sought to describe the halacha in this manner, that the psal is nidan kesukkah, to tell you a chiddush d'ashminan tana loymar sheishenim tachtav. Dilu avir pachas m'shloshim mitzarif l'ashem shir sukkah. It's true that airspace less than 3 is mitzarif to complete the shir of the sukkah. So if you have a 7x7 sukkah, and part of it is some airspace, less than 3, you have a kosher sukkah. That's as far as the sukkah is concerned. He absorbed that airspace into itself, aval ein yishenim tachtav, as far as the personal aspect. You can't sleep beneath that avir, because you're considered out of the sukkah. We had a similar concept back on the Fyodom Rebbeis regarding sleeping under a canopy, which isn't really an oil which interferes with the sukkah. It's not going to detract from the shear of sukkah, but you're outside the sukkah. You're not relating to the sukkah. Your personal space is under that canopy. Your personal space is under the open air, under that gap in the schach. Ein yishenim tachtav. It's a big chiddush. Tosfos asks on that. He says, how could you say that when you sit on the airspace, you're not yotze? He says, mi yuchal lihizor. He's going to be careful. B'sukkah maleya nekovim she'ein tzlosim. How could you have a perfectly blanketed sukkah? You're going to have some pinhole, some airspace. That's one of the kashas, one of the many kashas that Tosfos asks on Rashi. So the truth is that the Rishonim explain this a bit further. For instance, the Ran learns that it only applies to a significantly sized avir. He says, for instance, the avir which can accommodate roshe v'rubay of the person, that's large enough that a person sitting beneath that doesn't consider himself in the sukkah. The Rush learns that we're speaking about an avir which is so significant, it cuts right across, it divides the entire sukkah into two, so we have to reckon with it. Otherwise, if it's just pockets of air here and there, that's not what the Gemara is speaking about. Okay, let's just summarize before we continue. So we had the halacha of psal yitzu min ha-sukkah. We have 4 pshatim. First pshat, we're speaking, there's schach and 3 walls, but it's behind the sukkah. And the chiddush there is, even though the mechitza is, according to Tosfos, the schach was not really intended to serve that area, it's okay. Second pshat, we have some schach extending beyond the doorway. So in front of the sukkah. And there's one wall following that schach. And the chiddush is, even though there aren't any really 3 walls there, it's considered an extension of the sukkah and it's kosher. Third pshat, you have a small patch of sunny sukkah. The chiddush is, even though you don't have enough schach there, it's nidan kesukkah. And fourth pshat was, you have a patch in your sukkah with covered with schach pasul, less than 3 tefachim. So the chiddush, even though it doesn't have proper schach, is considered part of the sukkah, and in fact you actually sit under that schach pasul. Continues the Gemara. How can you say that? Umika midi did starufim mitzarif. The Gemara just drew a distinction between schach pasul, which is part of the sukkah to the extent that you can actually sit underneath it, and aver, which works differently. Sukkah can have him, but you can't have the aver. You can't sit beneath the aver. How do you make that distinction? Umika midi did starufim mitzarif. Do you really find such a thing? We have a precedent for such a concept. Something is mitzarif. The airspace is considered part of the shir sukkah. So on the one hand, part of the sukkah. And it in itself is not kosher. You can't sit beneath it. How does that work? How can you split the avar into two? He's part of the structure. But as far as the person sitting beneath it, he's considered out of the sukkah. Amar b'yisuk ben al-yashiv in. I'll provide an example, a precedent for such a concept by mikv. Tit hanirik. I'm going to prove from tit hanirik, some liquefied mud. Nirik means it can be poured from one kli to the other. So when it's lying in a mikvah, on the one hand, shemitz tarif labram sa, it's considered part of the 40 sa that you require shear of mikvah. So the mikvah has it, absorbs it into the shear. But you must make sure, this is the way Tosfos learns, you must make sure not to actually immerse in that tit. As far as you're concerned, you're out of the mikvah. But table boy, if one is table in the actual tit, is not yaitse. So you have that paradox. On one hand, the mikvah can utilize that tit and include it into the sheer mikvah. It's bottled to the mikvah as far as the sheer of the mikvah is concerned. But as far as the toivel, you can't be in the tit because then you're out of the mikvah. You have to be in actual water. Here as well says the Gemara. The Aver, less than three, is bottled to the sukkah. So in totality, the sukkah has that as part of its shear. It's bottled to the sukkah, but as far as personal space, you must make sure, don't find yourself under that Aver, because then you're not going to relate to the sukkah. You have to be in the sukkah itself. Interesting that the Gemara, you may notice, the Gemara said we're speaking about a sukkah ktam. Right? The Gemara says you have schach pasul. This is around 8 lines from the bottom. Schach pasul, pachis mishloisha besukkah ketana. That's actually one of the kashas that Tosfos asks in Rashi. Why do we speak about sukkah ketana? Why is this unique to a small sukkah? So actually, Tosfos presents a gevul yechidish. He says, this whole Gemara is speaking about only a sukkah ketana. So when the sukkah is barely 7x7, doesn't allow for much variances, right? Sukkah ketana means if you deduct the avir or the schach pasul, there will be nothing left. Won't have the required sufficient shear of sukkah. In that case, says Tosfos, we have this dilemma. So on the one hand, we include the aver or the schach pasul into the shear sukkah. The sukkah sort of has him, draws him into itself. But you can't be found under that aver. You're out of the sukkah. When it comes to sukkah gedoyla, apparently that's different, says Tosfos. And as far appears to be because a sukkah gedoyla is already a well-established entity on its own. It's large enough to accommodate all kinds of air gaps and schach pasul. It doesn't need it for its shear, in which case we say everything is drawn into the sukkah. So even if a person is sitting under the airspace, he's drawn into the sukkah, which has a shear on its own. So it's a bona fide sukkah, a bona fide makim, which sort of draws everything into it. And even as far as personal space, even if you are sitting under that airspace, the airspace is considered totally part of that sukkah, which already has a shear. So everything is bottled to the sukkah completely, totally, comprehensively. Whether as far as the din of the aver, even as far as the person sitting under the aver, he could consider himself safe and sound inside the sukkah. Continues the Mishnah, Oisa sukkosa kim in tzrif. So now he made a sukkah like a tzrif, like a shack, like a tent, which has a pointed roof. So there's no horizontal roof. There's no gag, you know, rachav tefach. It's just coming to a point. Or he leaned the schach against the wall. So he has a wall, and he leans the schach against the wall. Once again, there's no roof there. Rabbi Lezer Poisel, Yishain lo gag, has no roof. Chamei machshir, they say, it's fine, even without a roof. Now, Tosfos points out something interesting. He says, we're in the sukkah, can you sit? So he says, Bechira, you can sit even under the, you know, the slant, even when it's less than 10 tefachim high, provided it's 7 by 7. But even if it's less than 10 tefachim high, he says, you know what it's compared to? The psala, it's in a sukkah. Right? According to Rabban Rav Yosef, it was referring to a case where the kanim were actually extending past the doorway, only had one daifen. It's an extension of the sukkah. It's part of the sukkah here as well. You have this slant, even under the short side, it's considered part of the sukkah. Interesting chiddush of Tosfos. In any case, we learn that a sukkah without a roof is problematic. It has no gag. And a sukkah is meant to appear like a proper structure, says Rabbi Lezer. And a proper structure has a roof, which shelters the area beneath it, as opposed to just a slanty all-in-one sukkah, whether it's like an overturned V or it's just a straight slant against the wall. So yeah, it's shielding and sheltering the person within it, but it isn't really hovering over the makim. That needs a horizontal surface, which is actually covering and shading and roofing over a makim, which sort of attaches it to that makim. It's affecting the area beneath it. That's a proper structure. That's a proper oil. But something with just slanting in all directions, not creating a gag, says Rabbi Lezer, that's not considered an oil. That's not considered a sukkah. Tana says the Gemara learned in the Brice. There are two cases where a blazer will be okay with this slanty sukkah. Moider blazer, shemigbiya menakarka tefach. So let's say you have a wall and schach leaning against that wall on a slant, and he lifted the schach off the floor. A tefach. So you have a tefach gap between schach and floor. The way Rashi learns, we apply lovet. We consider it as if it's filled with a wall. Now you have at least a tefach. You have a wall which is at least a tefach high. That's your wall, and this is your roof. So shemigbiyim nakarka tefach, you're okay. Oy shefligim nakaisel tefach, sheikshir. Or alternatively, he has a wall, and he took his slanted tzach and he pulled it away from that wall, at least a tefach. So once again, Rashi learns, we apply lovad, we fill that gap with virtual wall. So now you have a roof, and the slanted tzach is his wall. So this way it's kosher. Tosfos learns he actually filled it with some wall material. In any case, as long as you have something, at least a tefach, that's okay to present itself as an oil, as a proper structure. My time, I do Rabbanon. Why do Rabbanon allow even a slanted sukkah? Shipua, aholim, kaholim, domu. Slanted, aholim, are considered like an oil. You don't need a flat roof. So according to our version, Rabbi Lezer says, needs to have a flat roof. Chacham say, even a slanted oil is okay. Says more, there was a story involving Abayi, who was Ashkechei. He noticed Rabbi Yosef, the Kagana Begilas Chasan Mesukah. Remember Begilas Chasan? That was the canopy, which was put up for the Chasan. Now this Kilas Chasan didn't have a flat roof. It came to a point. And Rabbi Yosef was sleeping underneath that canopy in a sukkah, apparently, because he didn't consider a kilas chasanim to be an oil, because it doesn't have a flat roof. Amalei, so Abaye asks him, Keman, whose shit are you following? Who doesn't consider this to be an oil? Keman, Rabbi Lezer? Just as Rabbi Lezer says, a slanted sukkah is nothing, so a slanted kila is nothing, and won't interfere with the sukkah, right? So you follow Rabbi Lezer? Shafkas Rabbanon, you abandoned the Rabbanon? Who consider a slanted oil as an oil, but obvious Rabbi Lezer, you followed Rabbi Lezer, you don't have to do that. Why'd you abandon the Rab and follow the Yachad? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef responds, Brice Ifchatani. You know why? Because in the Brice, the names were reversed. The Rabban are the ones that don't like the slanted roof. And I'm following the Rabban. It's not an oil. Brice Ifchatani. Rabbi Lezer Machshir, Hacham Pais. So in fact, I was following the Rab. Chacham are the ones who say a slanted sukkah is not a sukkah. And likewise, a slanted canopy is not an oil. So it won't interfere with a proper sukkah. So Abaye asks him, Shafkas masnis, and you abandoned the Mishnah's version of events, Va'avdis kebrais, and you followed the brais, I'm going to do so. Amalei masnis nechidoi, ave kabbalah, the Mishnah was presented by a yachid. it's an opinion presented by an individual, meaning the prevalent and accepted version of the machlekes was the way the Braisa presents it. The Rabbanon are the ones who hold a slanted roof is not considered. The Mishnah, which presents it differently in the reverse, is a different shita to Yachad Asanya. Oysa Zukasa Kimin Srif. Oysa Smachal Koisel. He made a sukkah like a shack, pointed roof, or he leaned a schach against the wall. Rabbi Nosson Oymer. So you see, it's Rabbi Nosson presenting it. Rabbi Leza Poisel. Hashem Logag. Chamachshir. So Rabbi Nosson was the one who presented our Mishnah. Rabbi Leza does not consider it a sukkah. A chacham do. But in reality, the correct version is the Brisa's version, which was the commonly accepted version of the Machlekes, where the Shitas are actually reversed. Chacham don't consider it an oil, so sukkah presented in this manner is possible. And likewise, the canopy, which has a pointed roof, is not considered an oil and won't interfere with his sukkah. And that's whose Shita I was following. It says the Mishnah, Machzelos Konim. So Machzelos is a mat made of konim, of bamboos, of reeds, and theoretically, it can serve two purposes. L'shchiva, to be used as a mattress, to lie on it, to sit on it. Or l'sichach, to use as a canopy, provide shelter and shade. Now, if it's meant l'shchiva, then it's a kli. Kabbal tumah can't be used for schach. If it was produced for sichach purposes, then it's not a kli. It can be used for schach. So machzelas konim gedolah. They have a large size. Reed mat, the Ran says large means larger than required for personal use. So what's the halacha? It says the Mishnah also l'shchiva, if he produced it with the intent to use it for shchiva, for lying, for a mattress, mikabel is tumah, it has tumah capability because it's a kli, and mesachim can be used for schach, it's a kli. L'sichach, if it was meant for schach, then it's not a kli, mesachim ba, can be used for schach, and mikabel is tumah. It's not dependent on size, whether it's small or big, has the same halach. Also, l'shchiva was meant for shchiva, mekabel tuma, then it's a kli, it's mekabel tuma, ve'ein mesachach en ba, can be used for schach. However, if it was meant l'sichach, then it's not a kli, mesachach en ba, can be used for schach, ve'ein mekabel tuma. So that's the Gemara Gufa Kashya. Let's go back to Tanakama, which is a bit confusing. The wording are inherently difficult to understand because first you say Amris also a shchiva, you take a large size mat which was produced for shchiva mekabel as tuma ve'en masachim ba, right? It's a kli, it's mekabel tuma, you can't use it for schach. Apparently, taima the also a shchiva, it's only because it was produced for that with that in mind. It was earmarked for shchiva. Hastama, apparently, you can imply from here that if it was just stama, meaning it was not earmarked for any specific use, it was unspecified, then we could justly assume that it's l'sichach. Unless he specifically had shchiva in mind, let's assume that the large size mat was meant for shade and shelter and it's not a kli, and it's fine. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Then continues the Mishnah. Varda tani, l'sichach masachin ba. It was meant for sichach, meaning he specifically expressed his intent to use this for sichach, was produced with that in mind, then you could use it. We have a diuk. Tama the asal is sichach. That's only because it was earmarked specifically for sichach. Hastama l'shchiva. Apparently, if it was undefined and unspecified, then we have to assume to be choshish, it was meant for lying purposes, for sleeping, for kli. So what's the lach of stama? It's a stiruth within the Mishnah. First part of the Mishnah seems to say that stama is okay. Only if there was specific machshav for shchiva, then it's a kli. But if it was left undefined, unspecified, we can assume that it was meant for schach. Then we have the next part of the Mishnah, which seems to say the other way around. If he specifically produced it for sichach, then it's okay. But otherwise, if it's just stama, undefined, unearmarked, then we have to assume it's the shchiva. So the Mohalikasha, the answer is very simple. It depends what size Matt was speaking about. Kam begdoila, kam begtana. The ratio of the Mishnah which says that stoma is okay, speaking about a large size Matt, which is presumed to have been produced for schach.
Why would he produce a large size mat for personal use? Kambek Tama. The Sefer, which seems to say that stoma is presumed to be for shchiva, speaking about a small size mat, personal size. So unless it indicates otherwise, we assume it's the shchiva. So if there was explicit intention, one way or the other, there's no question. If it was meant l'shchiva, it's tamid. Meant l'sichach, it's fine. The question is by a stoma. So the Gemara depends on the size. A large one is assumed to be good, a small one not. Continues the Gemara, let's skip over the parentheses. Reblezo Oimer, let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah. Reblezo Oimer, achas ktan, achas gdoila. Irrelevant of size. The halacha is like this. Also l'shchiva, kabbalah tuma. If he produced it for shchiva, then it's makabal tuma. Ve'im esachken ba. Let's stop for a second. What does this imply? Tama da'asa l'shchiva. It's only because it was earmarked for shchiva. Ha'as tam l'sichach. But if it's undefined, we assume it's fine and good for sichach. That's the first part of Rebbeleza. Ema Seifel, let's proceed to the next part of Rebbeleza, which we have a deal going the other way. Rebbeleza says, also l'sichach. If you made it for schach, yeah, then it's okay. Mesachachin ba, then it's fine. Ve'inu mekabos tumma. What does this imply? Time of the also l'sichach. That's only because he did it l'sichach. He had a specific intention for sichach. Ha'stam l'shchiva. Apparently, if it was left undefined, unspecified, we have to assume it's l'shchiva. Now, here you can't say that it's size dependent, because Reb Leza clearly says that he's addressing both sizes simultaneously, right? We have an inherent contradiction within his words regarding the status of a stam mat. So now we're stuck. So the Gemara will elaborate further. I'm going to have several approaches to explain the Mishnah. Perhaps we should leave it for tomorrow. Okay, so let's just recap today's daf. We discussed a case of a sukkah which was enclosed within an achsadra, within this overhang within the courtyard. Abaye says it works, Rava says it doesn't. We had one version, which was that we're trying to rely on pitikur yod v'soysim, which is a virtual machitza. Abaye says it's okay, Rava says no, because the pitikur is serving the roofed area, and not the area outside it. According to the second version, by pitikur will agree, you can't apply to the sukkah, because it's not really a tangible machitza. The question applied to lavud. That's a chiddush. And Abaye says it works, and Rava says, even by lavud, it can only serve the intended area, which is the area of the achsadra, not the sukkah. The Gemara says, halach kalishna kama, which is that lavud is considered like a tangible machitza, and even Rava would agree that it works. We go back to the first lashon, it's a question of pitikra, which isn't really a tangible machitza, and there, we follow Rav Shita, which is that it cannot be applied to the sukkah. So bottom line is, if you have a real machitza, a solid physical machitza, of course it can apply in all directions. Whereas if you have a lavud, according to the maskona, that's as good as a good machitza. By pitikra, by machlekes, and Rav maintains, at least by sukkah, it's not going to create the dira of the sukkah, since it wasn't really positioned for that purpose. Rashi spoke about a psala yitzim in a sukkah, which is part of the sukkah, and you can sit there. We have four pshatim. Either we're speaking some sort of protrusion to the back side of the sukkah, and the chiddush was, even though the mechitzas or the schach were not intended for that area, second pshat was, you have some schach extending beyond the entranceway of the sukkah, and you have one wall going along with it, and the chiddush is, even one wall is enough. We spoke about a possibility of part of a sukkah being full of sunlight, chamam rubim mitzel, still it's incorporated in the sukkah and it's kosher. And the final pshat was, you have schach pasul less than 3 tefachim, so although you don't have schach kosher, it's considered part of the sukkah to the extent that you can actually sit under that schach pasul. Whereas when it comes to avir, even if it's less than 3 tefachim, you're not meant to sit under that avir, and the Rishonim and the Ramah actually brings la'alacha, provided that it's a significantly sized pocket of airspace, it can accommodate the roish shevirubi of a person, or the way the Rush puts it, it cuts right across the sukkah, so it has added chashivas. Now, lach l'maisa, when it comes to sitting under schach pasul, so if we speak about a large size sukkah, where the shear of schach pasul to be placed on the sukkah is, it needs to be at least 4 tefachim, so the Machlokes Rishonim, some learn that if it's less than 4 tefachim, you can actually sit underneath it as well. It's different than Avir, where you sort of find yourself out of the sukkah. You're uncovered and exposed. When it comes to schach pasul, you consider yourself part of the sukkah, even though it's schach pasul, provided it's less than four tefachim. According to some rishonim, you only have up until three tefachim. It's beyond three tefachim, then you may not sit under it. So it's dafka if it's less than the shir lovet of three tefachim. Both shittas are brought in the halacha. Okay, we concluded with the sukkah, which doesn't really have a flat roof, and we had the Mishnah's version where Rabbi Elazar does not consider it an oil, and the Chachamim do. We had another version of the Braisa, which actually switched around the shittas. We concluded with the mat, the Machzalas Kanim, large, small. So if it's done l'shchiva, then of course it's Mekabel Tumah, it can be for schach. If it was specifically done for sichach, it can work by a stoma. We actually started the discussion. We'll continue with Hashem tomorrow. Kol tov to you and atzlacha rabba.